morning. Thank you all for being here. I'd like to talk from the angle of what are we learning currently, specifically about a project I'm working on in the Southern Willamette Valley in Oregon. And we have a variety of tools used to put our project into the larger context, looking at a map of the three tri-state area of Idaho, Washington, and Oregon. This is the EPA's Enviro Atlas, which is publicly available. This one in particular is using HUC-12. The dark blue represents nitrogen fertilizer inputs of 24 kilograms of nitrate per hectare or pounds per acre. Here we can see the necklace of Idaho, central and eastern Washington, and then down into the Willamette Valley. Now keep those dark blue areas in mind. Using Oregon's real estate transaction database, where if you are selling a property and it has a well on it that's for domestic use, it should be tested before sale of that property. We see this database goes back to 1989, and the red dots represented in the clicker isn't seemingly working. Anyway, the red dots represent 10 milligrams per liter of nitrate contamination. The yellow is 7 milligrams per liter. And keeping in mind these areas of the lower Umatilla Basin up here, northern Malheur County, and the Willamette Valley, this is where our three groundwater management areas have been designated. When I refer to a groundwater management area, from now on I'm going to call it a GWAMA. Due to 1989 state legislation, it's allowed the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality to use the GWAMA designation as a tool to address large-scale, non-point source groundwater contamination with an action level of 7 milligrams per liter. And all three of the GWAMAs in Oregon are due to nitrate contamination. I like to say sometimes that we celebrated our 10-year anniversary recently down in the Southern Willamette Valley. That may not be a proper adjective to use. But it was declared in 2004 after Oregon DEQ tested over 400 wells in the area. These are domestic wells, and they're also shallow groundwater monitoring wells. And 20% of those wells were found to be above the action level. Going back in 2002, they resampled those wells. 90% of them were still above the action level. And with 16% of the Oregon population using groundwater for their daily uses, as well as in the physical area of the Southern Willamette Valley, GWAMA, over almost 9,000 residents are relying on groundwater. This is a fairly big issue. So the boundaries of the GWAMA were designated so that people would know if they're living or working within the groundwater management area. This is also meant to be a physical representation of the high nitrate contamination wells that were designated from the 2000 study. Most of our sources for nitrate come from agricultural fertilizer applications for crops. We do have some concentrated animal feeding operations, CAFOs, as well as septic systems. All of this work in the GWAMA has led to this interdisciplinary project that I work on and I'm going to talk about today. EPA's regionally applied research effort for nutrient tracking for surface water and groundwater protection. We have a variety of partners from local soil and water conservation groups that allow us to do soil testing on farm, but they've also allowed us direct access to farmers. So we've been able to go introduce ourselves and have a vast partnership. We work with Oregon State University Extension Service, as well as Oregon DEQ is providing in-kind support for processing a lot of our samples. Everything's keeping the cost down, but we're all working together here with the goal of providing a tool for farmers, managers, and conservation groups to quantify their water quality benefits of the practices they're either using or funding, and use that information to set priorities and inform water quality trading. Our project goals, number one, is certainly to build stakeholder involvement. We're determining the effectiveness of current land management practices in reducing nitrate leaching, as well as calibrating and validating the USDA's agricultural policy and environmental extender model, which is the background for the more user-friendly GUI of the nutrient tracking tool model. And then we're applying these models to our Guama stakeholder questions. Our modelers just had a sit-down with a lot of our farmers and other public stakeholders, and it was decided that a lot of the directions that the modelers were going in were not actually what our stakeholders wanted. So we've changed that direction. And we're ultimately wanting to provide information on best management practice effectiveness and on the use of APEX and NTT. And the main one that I'm going to be talking about today is our effectiveness of current practices in reducing nitrate leaching. We're lucky enough in this study to have equipment that's still functioning and accessible from the 1990s. And we don't only have equipment, but we also have the data from the 1990s, and this was set up by researchers at OSU. And what we're expecting to see with this project, we're still in our first year of the project, is that there's a reduction in nitrogen application to the land, and thus a reduction in nitrate leaching. This is following the principles of the four R's: right source, right rate, right time, and right place. Now, the measurements we're taking, this old equipment that I'm talking about are these 1990s passive capillary lysimeters. They're tension lysimeters. They're very large. They have about a meter squared surface area. And we are able to access about seven of those, or not about, seven of those from the 1990s. They're all installed at 1 meter depth. We've gone back to those sites and installed new suction lysimeters, or pre-NARTs, also at a meter depth. We let these older lysimeters, the PCAPs, collect for 1 month, and take a sample. Then we let our pre-NART lysimeters collect for 3 weeks, 1 week at a time, pumping. We volume weight those samples, and we have each sample tested for nitrate and total phosphorus. We're also taking isotopes of deuterium and oxygen for sources and processes, as well as we have a water sampler capturing irrigation and precipitation, which is also sampled or analyzed for isotopic analysis. Now, all of these on-farm measurements are great, and we also have soil analysis going on at each of the fields. But really, to help with our modeling effort, we have a very intensive and repeated farmer interview that goes on with all of our farmers, looking at crop production, irrigation, how much are they putting on when, as well as fertilizer type and timing. And when we started this study, we wanted to get a representation of crops that were currently being grown in the Guama today. Now, we were predisposed to the lysimeters that were already installed in the 1990s. But currently, we have one mint, one hazelnut, or filbert if you're from Oregon, a blueberry, two wheat, three vegetable row crops, and four grass seed. Now, the grass seed in the pie chart is represented in the large purple, or basically the largest section of the pie chart. So we think currently we are representing fairly well what is being grown in the Guama today. Now, a lot of the vegetable crops, some of the wheat crops, they're changing as farmers rotate their crops due to the economy. We have seven soil types, and currently there are 12 fields we're working with. Looking at some of our preliminary data, nitrate concentration is on the y-axis with time on the x. We only currently have data from February through June of this year. The solid line is our newer pre-NART lysimeters, and the dotted line is our older PCAP lysimeters. We're looking at wheat. The 1990s data didn't have much wheat to compare it to, so there's no real comparison, but we are seeing relatively high concentrations, with 10 also being the MCL. Looking at a row crop and comparing it to the 1990s data, 1990s data is shown on top, and please note that the x-axis time frame is 4 years long versus the bottom graph, which is our current data, which is only February through June. So when you're looking at the 1990s data, it's helpful to just look at this February through May section of each year. What we're seeing is row crops currently are looking fairly low compared to the 1990s row crop data. Now, our rye graph is looking a bit higher than the 1990s. And this is where we can see there's been a change in land use from there is only one ryegrass field in the 90s versus the four that we have going on today. But also, this is where the farmer interview comes in. Because ryegrass, generally, if you're looking at soil nitrate levels, doesn't show this high with our two bottom fields. But this is where our farmer interviews come into play, where we are learning that the farmer is using potentially a growth hormone that's affecting these values. With looking at peppermint grown in the valley, this is again where we can see that land use change, where due to changes in and developments of verticillium wilt in the valley, peppermint has reduced in a crop acreage in the valley. However, we are trying to get a few more mint fields. Currently, our mint concentrations are looking very similar to the 1990s values. And while we've talked about the data summary so far, the main thing that I'd like to stress is that we didn't have the funding or the manpower to go back and reinstall new PCAP lysimeters, so we use these readily available PRENARTs. But we're not seeing a bias between the PRENART and the PCAP data. There's not one that's comparatively different. We're currently doing water balance modeling at each of the fields. We're using our insights from the water isotope data for about sources and processes, and we're doing a nitrogen leaching balance to inform from their information from our grower interviews, as well as comparing current and past crops in the Guama. And all of this information is feeding into the APEX and NTT modeling. So to get back to my title, is the project working? Well, we're still going on. As you can see, what we have so far is very preliminary, and it's a very seasonal look at what we have for our current data. So by next year, we'll have more to talk about. But the main thing that I would like to highlight, the city of Coburg in the western or the southern boundary of the Guama, it's a town of about 1,100 people. If you remember that larger pie chart where septic systems were made up 4% of our nitrogen sourcing, nitrate sources for the Guama contamination, they've just gone off of their septic system with the wastewater project being completed. So that's certainly a huge benefit to the Guama in general. We're always increasing stakeholder involvement, and none of the work could be done without our farmers voluntarily allowing us to come on their land. They're working directly with EPA and just being generally very friendly. With that, thank you very much, and if you have any questions, please let me know. Absolutely. I'm still learning about it, so let me preface that. But my understanding is, so we have in the valley a market that has recently popped up for shipping the stalks over, after you take the seed off, ship the stalks over Anyway, the growth hormone is generally keeping the roots small and also increasing the vegetative growth. And that's currently my understanding of it. So you have less root growth to collect anything that's coming from above the ground. Thank you very much. Oh. That's something we're currently working on, so I'm not...